guess what we'll do is let's read the words, and then we'll talk it out totally unrelated to the piece, and then we'll come back to the piece. Let's see, Muva. It is understood. It's found in the Svarim HaKadoshim. It's quoting from a sefer called Shari Gan Eden. So that sounds pretty lofty. It says in the sefer Shari Gan Eden, Ki agvuros shebechasadim heim yoser mevurarin min hachasadim shebegvuros. That gvura, midas hadin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gvura, Hashem's judgment, strict justice, shebichasadim, that is found within chesed, is more refined than chesed found within gvura. Gvura found in chesed is actually more mevurar, borer means clarified. It's more refined. It's more selective, right? Nochel Shab is Boer, means the prohibition of selecting the bad from the good. So Gvura Shabachasadan, the Gvura that is found within Chesed is actually loftier than the Chesed found within Gvura. Okay, so let's pause here and talk out a whole bunch of things. Let's talk about Elul. Let's start with Elul. Let's start with just a very realistic attitude that people have in the month of Elul. And in general, whenever we talk about Tshuva, people panic. Why do people panic? Because there's an anxiety. There's actually a beautiful article I once read by Rabbi Dr. Benzion Saratskin called El Anxiety, and he talks about mamish the fear of facing oneself in Chodesh El. And he writes there that he heard from Yeshiva Bacher, who said to him, "I wish I could just go to sleep at the beginning of El and wake up in time for Sukkos. Just skip over this whole time," because it's very, when a person thinks about tshuva can be very uncomfortable for a person. I have to confront myself, I have to confront my failures, and that's a very, very uncomfortable thing. But the truth is that when a person goes through the process, it's mamish, the most cleansing, joyful experience that a person can have, if I'm willing to push through it. Okay, so the Bnei Yisachar says that every month has a name of Hashem that's associated with that month. An arrangement of Hashem's name, the four-letter name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, can be arranged 12 different ways. What is the name of Hashem for the month of Elul? What is the arrangement of God's name for the month of Elul? Hey, hey, vav, yud. Hey, hey, vav, yud. Okay. He says it's hinted to in a pasuk in Parshas Ve'eschanan, Utzidaka tiyeh lanu ki. The last four letters, tzedaka ends in a hey, tiyeh ends in a hey, lanu is a vav, and ki is a yud. Utzidaka tiyeh lanu ki is sofei tevos hey, hey, vav, yud. What exactly is Hei Hei Vav Yod? What is Hei Hei Vav Yod? Well, so there's a Medrash in Parshas Re'eh, Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Re'eh, which describes the experience of going to Gehenna. And I'm going to read you the words of the Medrash. The Medrash says, Medrash Tanchuma Re'eh Simin Yud Gimel, says that when a Jew goes to Gehenna, B'tchila Hein Omrim Ha, U'levesof Hein Omrim Vai. First the person says, oi, and then they say, vei, oi, vei. First says, ho, and then they say, vai. But if you look at the Medrash, the way it's spelled is, first they say, hey, hey, and then they say, vav, yud. So a number of years ago, I said, wait a minute, that's the arrangement of the name of God for the month of El. When you go to hell, first you say, hey, hey, then you say, vav, yud. Is that what El is? Is El Gehenna? And what exactly is this arrangement, hey, hey, vav, yud? What does that name of God teach us? What's it hinting to? So we know that in the name of Hashem, the ideal way is that it's spelled keseder. It's spelled in the normal way, yud and hey and vav and hey. What do we know about the letters yud and vav and the letters hey? Which letters are masculine letters? Which letters are feminine letters? Right? Hey is a female letter. Hey at the end of a word makes the word a feminine word. And we know in the structure and the balance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's energy, so to speak, as embodied by the spheros, the right side, which is the side of chesed, is masculine. The left side, which is midas hadin and gvura, is feminine. So what does that mean? So it means, in terms of the letters, it means the Svarim say that the letter yud and vav are masculine letters, are chesed letters. And the letter hey is a female midas hadin letter. Okay, if you don't believe me that a letter hey makes something into feminine and midas hadin. So look in the Ramban on Chumash by the para aduma. He says it's not a par, but it's a para, which is feminine, and it's aduma. It's red. Red is associated with midas hadin, and how para aduma comes to remove the tumah of tumas meis. Okay, you can look over there. He talks about how feminine is associated with midas hadin, but it's a well known concept. So usually Hashem's name, ideally Hashem's name is what? Is Yud followed by Hey, Vav followed by Hey. What does that mean? Right? That's the name of Chesed, because the Yud, so to speak, is out in front, ahead of the Hey. The Yud guides the Hey. And then the Vav guides the final Hey. In other words, the Chesed is guiding the Din. So what is the name of Hashem for Elul? Hey, Hey, Vav, Yud. So what does that mean? Hey, Hey is a double dose of what? Of Midas Adin. Vav Yud is a double dose of Midas Achesed. When a Jew goes to Gehenim, says the Medrash, first he says, ha! Oh, he says, hey, hey! But then he says, Vav Yud. Why? Why is Hashem sending you to Gehenim? Why is Hashem putting a Jew through a Chodesh El? It's so uncomfortable for people to confront themselves in Chodesh El. So at first, if you're immature, you look at me and you say, oh, you say, hey, hey, this is Midas Adin, Hashem, why are you trying to make me feel bad? Are you trying to embarrass me? Why are you putting my averus in my face? Right? But then, as a person goes through the process, and they start to remove some of that filth, that impurity of averus, of sins, of disconnect from Hashem, how do you feel when it's all said and done? You feel Vav Yud. Vav Yud is letters of Chesed. You feel good. You feel like you're back on Hashem's good side. And that's exactly what the Rambam describes, the moment before tshuva and the moment after tshuva. I should have brought along the Rambam. Rambam, someone wants to pull it up on their phone, on Safari, you can pull it up also. The Rambam, the seventh parakava, describes the transformation, the moment before tshuva and the moment after tshuva. And you basically go from Gehenim to Gan Eden. What does the Rambam say? You got it? Anyone got it? Perek Zayin, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav. The Rambam says, yesterday, what did Hashem think of you? I mean, yesterday, the moment before tshuva, the day before. Yeah, you got it? Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav. Yeah, you got it? Let's see, slide it down. Let's see what we got. We got a whole team here working on it. Okay, we got a research team. Oh, now they need a donation also. Okay, here, let's see. Says the Rambam, yeah, tells us about the way of the Baal tshuva. And what happens when he goes through his transformation? So why don't I see it? Oh, that's 7-6. Kama meula milas tshuva. How great is tshuva? How superior is tshuva? Emesh, just yesterday, hayazeh muvda me Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Yesterday, you were completely disconnected from Hashem. As the pasuk says, avonoseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein Elokeichem. Aveir creates a wall between us and Hashem. And you cry out to Hashem tzoik veino nena. You cry out to Hashem and Hashem says, I could care less about your tefillos. Yeah. And now, v'hayom, and now, today, what are you? After you did tshuva, hu medubak b'shechina. Now you're clinging to the shechina. Tzoik, you cry out to Hashem, you need help, and nena miyad. And Hashem helps you, mamish, right away. But then the Rambam has another lashon, where the Rambam says in the halachah before this, Gedola tshuva shmekareves es ha'adam l'shechina. Tshuva is so great that it brings you close to the shechina. How so? Again, emes, just yesterday, ha'yizeh sonoi lifnei ha'makom, you were hated by Hashem, mishukat, you were repulsive, meruchak, you were distant, to'eva, you were abominable. Very harsh l'shonos. What happens after you do tshuva? V'hayom, hu ahov, you're beloved, nechmad, karov, you're close to Hashem, you did, you're Hashem's friend, you're beloved, you're cherished by Hashem. Right, so you went mamish from, thank you so much, you went from the depths of disconnect, of midas hadin, right? And at the start of the tshuva process, you're just staring your averos in the face, and it's so painful. And you're going through the asham news, the bagad news, the gazal news, and you're thinking about, I actually did these things. By the time you work your way through it, and again, Chodesh El is the jump start to work through it. It starts off, hey, hey. It starts off, midas adin. You're like, you can't bear to even take on the challenge of tshuva. But by the end, what's the end of the name of Hashem for the month of El? Vav Yud, which is chesed. You find that really, this whole process is really a chesed. People make a mistake about tshuva. What's the cause and what's the effect? What do I mean by that? Listen to what Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shaarei Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah says that one of the things that Hashem gave us to be ma'orer us to tshuva, to wake us up to tshuva, is something called the Yom Nora. Okay? Think about that for a second. One of the things that Hashem gave us to wake us up to tshuva is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What's the pshat in that, Rabbeinu Yonah? Think about it for a second carefully. What's causing what? What does Hashem want? Hashem wants tshuva. Hashem says, how am I going to get you to tshuva? I put you through a process called Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. See, we think Hashem wants Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and our response is, I have to do tshuva. No. The plan from the start, right? So if Masav Machshava Tchila, the Machshava Tchila, Hashem's desire is tshuva. Hashem thinks, how can I get you to do tshuva? You know what? I'm going to scare them. I'll scare them with Rosh Hashanah. I'll put them in an intense situation called Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and that will help them to do tshuva. But the goal all along is tshuva. It was coming from a place of chesed. It was coming from a desire of Hashem to give us a gift called tshuva. But to give us that gift, sometimes He has to package it in something a little bit scary to help us to wake up from our slumber and to realize what a gift it is. The same thing is true with tefillah. The Medrash says it explicitly. Why did Hashem make the Avos and the Imaos barren? Is Hashem mean? Hashem wanted their tefillos. Hashem said, what's the best way I can get Avram and Sarah to really daven? You know what? I'm going to make it difficult for them to have children. So it's not that it was difficult for them to have children and therefore they daven. No. Hashem wanted Meirosh. Hashem wanted Hashem Pakada Sarah. Hashem wanted to remember Sarah and to provide Sarah with a child. So in order to get there in a way that would be even greater, Hashem put Sarah in a difficulty. But in the language of the Medrash, Hashem desired the tefillos of the tzaddikim, so therefore He made them barren. But what came first? What came first was the desire to get to those tefillos. Right? The desire to give them a child. But Hashem wants them to appreciate the child, so He puts them in a difficult situation to help them to appreciate the child. But it's what the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, that Hashem always prepares the medicine before the illness. And we have to look at Chodesh El not as a threatening opportunity, but as mamash, as a gift that was given to us, right? As really the tachlis of what everything we're going to go through in the awesome days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Shulchan Aruch Kadosh says, take the word Sarah, which means difficulty, right? And let's see what's inside of Sarah. So if I'm looking at the letters Sadi Reish Hei, I want to see what's inside. So how would I do that? So you could say, well, spell out the letter. No, he says, just look at the letters before Sarah. Tzadi Reish Hei. What are the letters before Tzadi Reish Hei? What's before a Tzadi?
Pei.
What's before a Reish?
Kuf.
What's before a Hei?
Dalet.
Pei, Kuf, Dalet. Like it says in Shemos Perek Gimel, the code for redemption is what? Pakod Pakadati. Like I just told you a second ago, what do we read on Rosh Hashanah? What's the Kriya Satorah? Hashem Pakad Esarah. It means redeem. It means to save. It means to remember. So what came before the tzara? What did Hashem have in position already before the tzara even came? What's right before the tzara? Pei kof dalet. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares what? Hashem prepares the kindness, the redemption, even before the tzara arrives. Okay, let's learn a little B'nai Yisachar for a second. Listen to the B'nai Yisachar. How many hours are there in Chodesh Elul? 29 days in Chodesh Elul. There are 24 hours in a day. So there are 696 hours in Chodesh Elul. Right? Elul's are, these are days of Ratzon, days of great opportunity, 696 hours. Says the B'nai Yisachar, in his first Maamar on Elul in Os Yud Aleph, the B'nai Yisachar says the following. Hashem gave us Chodesh Elul as Yimei Ratzon and Tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah can be very intense. So Hashem gave us a chance to prepare ourselves. So says the B'nai Yisachar, Rosh Hashanah we know is for 2 days. Which day of Rosh Hashanah is the more intense day? Important for the Chevra to know. Which day is considered the harsher judgment? And which day is the more gentle judgment? And it affects the way that I daven. I'm supposed to really ask for the things that I need when the judgment is less strong. So the first day is, again, in the language of the Arizal, Dina Kashya. It's Kasheh. It's the harsh judgment. And the Rizal says it corresponds to Leah. And the second day is Dina Rafia. It's Rafa. It's soft. It's more gentle. And it corresponds to Rachel. Now, whatever the Arizal does with that, we'll leave for now. But you should just know the first day of Rosh Hashanah is harsher. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is softer. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is not really the right time to ask for your personal needs, your physical needs. Hashem, I could use a few extra bucks, you know. I'm struggling financially, whatever it is. I need greater health. It's not a time to ask for yourself. It's a time to crown a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Sfarim say, is already a more appropriate time to ask a little bit more selfishly. Okay? So says the Bnei Yisachar. So we have 2 days, but they're both days of Din. There's Dina Kasha, there's Dina Kashya, and there's Dina Rafya. Right? There's the Din which is Kasha, and there's the Din which is a little bit more gentle. Says the Bnei Yisachar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Chodesh El. The whole Chodesh El is to get us ready. It's the medicine before we come to the judgment. How many hours did I tell you right now? 696. Says the Bnei Yisachar, beautiful Remez. He says, what's the gematria of Kasha Kuf Shin Hei? Virafe, Viresh Pehe. So Kuf Shin Hei, the first day is Kasha, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Kashez, the harsh day. Kuf Shin Hei is how much? 405. Kuf Shin Hei is Gematria 405. Okay, the second day is Resh Pei Hei, right? Is 285. Right? But he puts them together. He says, with the Vav? It's 2 what? 2 plus 405 is 696. So the 696 hours of Chodesh Elul, says the Bnei Yisachar, help us to prepare for the 2 days of judgment of what? Of Rosh Hashanah. And he says, it's hinted to in the following pasuk. You could look at it, you could look at Elul, and you could look at this whole process as what? As tzaros, as difficulties. Again, but I told you before, every tzara, before every tzad yireish hay is a peik of dalet. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu waiting to save you, it's waiting to help you. You start off with the immature perspective. You say, oh, hey, this is so bad. Midas Adin. And then you go a little deeper. You say, wait, hold on. This is really a chesed in disguise. Vav Yud. Right? Later you say Vav Yud. You realize, you know what? This was all part of Hashem's master plan to help me to actualize my potential. So I take the tsaros, says the Bnei Yisachar, and I turn it into what? I take the tzadi reish vav tav, 696, 696 hours of Elul, and I turned it into what? Into ritzos. Like a lashon of ratzon. What does the pasuk say? It's a pasuk that says, "Birtzos Hashem darcheish." When Hashem desires the way of a person, "Gam oivav yashlim ito." Pasuk in Mishle, "Birtzos Hashem darcheish." When Hashem desires you, then what? Then "Gam oivav yashlim ito." Then He helps to work out the things with His enemies. Who are your biggest enemies? The veros that you did—they're all trying to malign you. They're trying to slander you. So realize that Elul is not tzaros. Tzad Yireish Vav Tav, 696, but it's Ritzos. It's Birtzos. The pasuk in Mishlei Perek Tazayin. Birtzos Hashem Darche Ish Gam Oivav Yashlim Ito. Take the Tzara and turn it into something that is there to help you. And then, you know how you're going to feel? Then you're going to feel B'Simcha. Because Rosh Hashanah really is a day of Simcha. So now we take the 696 hours of Elul, says the Bnei Yisachar, and you divide them in two over the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Because again, we're dividing it up to help us to combat the harshness of these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So take 696 and break it in half. Break it into the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So what's 696 cut it in half? What do you got? 348 is Gematria Sameach. And you're happy. Then things are good. And they're 2 happy days. Which is why we have a festive meal on Rosh Hashanah. Right? And we dress in a way that we're confident we're going to be Zocha B'Din. Like the Torah writes, we come to Rosh Hashanah with confidence. How do we walk out of a trial? Then we go home and have a big lunch, have a big Rosh Hashanah Suda, and we're dipping apple in honey, Rosh Hashanah and I. We're feeling good, we're hopeful, we're nervous, but we're also very confident. We're confident because if we prepared properly in Elul, right, that it's not sorrows. We realize this is all Hashem's kindness to help us to what? Biritzos Hashem Dar Chayish, when Hashem desires your ways, when He wants you to improve your ways, Gam Oivav, Hashem takes your Oyev, your enemies, namely your Yetzirah, and Yashlimito. He helps you to make it shalim, to work it out, so that it shouldn't hold you back from being able to serve Hashem. One of my favorite varts comes from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. The Be'er Mayim Chaim, Rav Chaim of Chernovitz, in Parshas Bereishis, says a pshat on the pasuk in Tehillim. Tell me if you recognize this pasuk. You should. Ki hinei oyvecha Hashem, ki hinei oyvecha yovedu, yispardu kol po'alei oven. How do you read the pasuk? Ki hinei oyvecha Hashem, ki hinei oyvecha yovedu, yispardu kol po'alei oven. So the pasuk pshat is that you're calling for Hashem to take away your enemies. Right? Hashem, I need your help to battle my enemies. Says the Be'er Mayim Chaim. Listen to this. Ki hinei oyvecha Hashem. Right? Ki hinei oyvecha Hashem. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that what appears to be an oyev is really just Hashem in disguise. It's Hashem wearing a costume. The thing that looked like it was such an impediment in your life, and you think, like, where's God in this? What do you mean? Hashem is hiding right inside of that. Hashem is there. Right? He's hidden within. So says the Be'er Mayim Chaim in Parshas Bereishis. Kisha Adam no sein zos el libo. When a person takes it to heart, Asher ein b'koach hara, ki im koach Hashem. Anything that exists in the world, no matter how evil it appears, no matter how much it seems to be attacking you and confronting you, really what? To realize that what? Ki im koach Hashem harotze, she yishaber hataiva hahi v'yachnia. Right? It's really Hashem is empowering it to humble you, so that you can control your taivas. So then what? Then take off yashuv levava el Hashem lekav. Then you immediately come back to Hashem. So he quotes the Baal Shem Tov. He says, "Here's how the Baal Shem Tov read the pasuk: Ki hinei oyvecha Hashem. Realize that sometimes oyvecha, the thing that looks like your oyvecha, is really Hashem. And what happens when you recognize that ein od mavada? There's nothing besides Hashem. My worst moments are not as bad as they appear." Because Hashem is still in charge. When it looks like everything's falling apart, Hashem is still running the show. So says the pasuk, ki hinei, behold, when you realize that oyvecha Hashem, that even your enemy is really just Hashem in disguise, what's the next two words in the pasuk? Next four words? Ki hinei oyvecha yovedu. Then your oyvecha, then your enemy goes away. Because then there's no enemy, it's just God. Ein od movado. Ki hinei oyvecha Hashem, when you realize the thing that's giving you so much sorrows is really beritzos Hashem darcha ish. Hashem is trying to help you to improve your ways. So as soon as you recognize that the thing that looks so frightening is really just Hashem in disguise, then what? Then oyvecha yovedu. Then the oyev, then the enemy goes away. It's very fitting that we're learning all about enemies because the tzaddikim say that this year, Tafshin Ayin Tes, is a year of defeating enemies. I heard from different tzaddikim over the course of this past year that Tafshin Ayin Tes is gematria from the pasuk in Az Yashir. Right, we say what? Tir'atz oyev. Tir'atz oyev is going to your tafshin ayin tes, to shatter your enemies. So this is Elul, tafshin ayin tes. It's the last month of tafshin ayin tes, a time to defeat our enemies. But defeating the enemy means realizing that the thing that you thought was such an enemy is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamish in disguise. So first you say, ha? And then you say, vai. You thought it was so bad, you thought it was all midas hadin, and then you realize it was a big bracha in disguise. I'll tell you an amazing story. Rav Moshe Sher, Moshe Sher was a great lay leader in Klal Yisrael for many, many years. A real mover and a shaker. You know, a person who had lots of connections in Washington and did tremendous things to help the Jewish community at large for many, many years as the head of the Aguda. So Moshe Sher had an amazing story that happened to him when he was a kid. He used to tell the story. He said, one time I was a kid, I was burning up with fever. We were very, very poor. We were dirt poor at the time. And I was burning up with fever, and I was my mother was worried I was going to die. That's how drastic it was. And we had there was like nothing. We had no money. My mother scrapped together whatever little bit of coins she had in the house. I ran off to the pharmacy, and she begged the person in the pharmacy. She said, "I know I can't pay for medicine, but my son is dangerously ill, and he needs medicine. So take whatever bit of money I have. I promise I'll work for you, whatever it is. I'll come back. I'll do whatever it is, anything." So the pharmacist had, you know, Rachmanis on her, this poor woman, and he gave her some medicine. And she said, she has this medicine, she's holding this medicine, it's in like a brown paper bag, a glass jar in a brown paper bag. She's running home because she barely wants to administer the medicine to her little child who's, you know, in her mind, deathly ill. And as she's running, she's trying, and she's like, come on. You know, trying so hard. And I begged this person, and they were so nice to me, and I finally had a chance, and no, what do you do? Well, I don't know, what's a Jewish mother to do? She picked herself up, yeah, and she gathered the pieces, whatever she could, and she threw the broken pieces back in the bag, and she ran back to the pharmacy, It's a true story. It's mamash a true story. He used to tell it all the time. He said it was one of the most empowering stories of his life. And he became a person who took on huge challenges. Rav Moshe Shira would go to battle for the Jewish people on the highest levels of, you know, of government negotiations. So Rav Moshe Shira said his mother scooped up the broken shards of glass and she ran back to the pharmacy. And there was another pharmacist there. And she comes back and she says, she starts telling her whole sob story. She's crying. She can barely get the words out. And the pharmacist takes a look at the, you know, the broken bottle. And he says, "Lady, I don't know who you are, but you've got angels watching out for you." So she says, "What do you mean?" She says, "I'm not sure." She says, the other person who gave you this, they totally messed up. This is not something that your child could have taken, and it probably could have killed your child had he taken this medicine." So he says, "Lady, I don't know who you are. I don't know who your kid is. I don't know who you are, but I'm telling you, someone's watching out for you." And he gave her the proper medicine, and of course, he had a refuah. He recovered from that very intense fever, and he went on to become one of the most important lay leaders in the Jewish people in the last 30 years. There's a big fat art school biography. It's bigger than some of the big gedolim biographies. The Rav Moshe Shira biography. Read it. You'll see what a person can go. You don't have to be a rabbi. You don't have to be a Rosh Yeshiva to make a difference in the world. Read the Rav Moshe Shira biography. It's unbelievably inspiring. But he used to tell this story. It's in the biography, this story. He used to tell this story. That, can you imagine how my mother felt when she was sitting there on the floor with that broken jar of medicine? She thought her whole world fell apart. And that was mamish the beginning of the Hatzalah to get what she actually needed in order to be able to save her son. Okay? So says the Avodas Pnim. So now let's look. So says the Avodas Pnim. Again, he teaches a very deep quote. Ki ha-gvuros shebechasadim heim yoser mevurarin min ha-chasadim shebegvuros. What does that mean? That means gvura, right? That the gvura inside of a chesed is more refined than the chesed that's inside of a gvura. Meaning, what's the inside and what's the outside? I don't know if I even said it right. Let's see. Venira. Ki ha yesurim sheyesh letzadik bolam hazeh heim gvura shebechesed. You look at a tzadik who's suffering in this world and you say, "I don't get it, Hashem. It makes no sense. This person is such a good person. Why are they going through this difficulty? They're doing so many things right and they're suffering so much. It doesn't make any sense." So realize that the suffering of the tzadik in this world is gvura shebechesed. It looks like gvura, but it's really chesed. And the tranquility that the Rasham have in this world, who chesed shebegvura. It might look like chesed. Why does the Rasha have it so good? I'm trying so hard to learn Torah and to get to davening and to conquer my Yetzirah. Yeah, and my friend from my old buddy from high school, the guy is not Shomer Shabbos. He doesn't keep mitzvah, doesn't do anything, right? And we're both trying to get the same internship over the summer, and he gets the job. Like, God, what's your problem? I don't understand. Why is he being successful? Why does he have shalva? Why does he have yeshiva das? Why does he have peace of mind and he has tranquility in this world? Right? And I'm suffering, and I'm trying to be the tzaddik. And he in my mind is clearly the Rasha. So realize, says the Avodas Pnim, realize that the shalva of the Rishaim in this world is chesed shebegvura. It looks like chesed. It's packaged in chesed. But on the inside, it's really gvura. The root of it is gvura. Hashem really wants to punish the Rasha. Umalubash b'chesed, but Hashem wraps it in chesed. Hashem is maybe giving the Rasha his whole olam haba in this world. So the Rasha thinks, "Ah, it's so good in this world." Yeah, well, guess what, buddy? In the next world, you've got big problems. Hashem is paying off your couple of good deeds in this world. And the tzaddik is just the opposite. The tzaddik suffers a little bit in this world so that his olam haba can be nothing but eternal bliss. So on the inside, right? On the inside, the Rasha is actually suffering. Even on the outside, he looks okay. Ve'etzel tzaddikim, by the tzaddik, it's the opposite. Hashoresh chesed u'malubash v'gvura. By the tzaddik, the inside, what Hashem really wants is to help you. But sometimes Hashem has to package it in a harsh packaging. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. What does Hashem want? What's the inside? Hashem wants to give you the best gift in the world called what? Called tshuva. How does Hashem package it? He packages it in a lot of scary words in your machzor in Rosh Hashanah. He packages the ritzos in tzaros. Right? He packages the gift he wants to give you in something which superficially looks very painful. V'zeh inyan masha anu mevakshim, turn the page. So this is what we say. You're going to have a beautiful new understanding of a line from Rosh Hashanah davening. I know we say, what seems like countless words over the course of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But if you can catch this line and think about this piece and everything we learned tonight, when you say just these couple of words in the davening, it's a totally new understanding of it. What do we ask Hashem on the Yom Naram? V'tichaneis itanu lifnim mishur asadin. Pashup shat, Hashem, enter with us beyond the letter of the law. In other words, Hashem, I know we don't deserve all that much, but be extra nice to us. That's the pashup shat. But says the Avodah Zarah, what are we really asking? Well, it's a strange lashon. Tichaneis, like bring us in where? Tichaneis itanu, take us in lifnim to go to the pnimius of what? Of shur asadin. Take us to the inner dimension of midas adin. Because what's wrapped in the outside as midas adin is really mamish chesed on the inside. And by the way, the surprise chesed that's wrapped in that strange wrapping is much more of a surprise and much more exciting than the chesed that Hashem gives you where it's openly chesed. Right? Think about it. The gift that you're given that you know is a good gift, okay, you enjoy it. Right? But if someone like sets some whole thing up, right, and it looks like it's a terrible matzav, and then like, oh, surprise, actually it's a surprise party for you, and then like, it's so much more enjoyable because it was vina hafach from it, right? It went through this transformation. What you thought was going to be so bad turned out to be mamish the opposite. It was so good. So that's what the Shaarei Gan Eden means when it says that what? That the gvura shebechasadim is more refined than the chesed shebegvura. Right? So to speak, that hidden chesed that's packaged in gvura is actually much more sweet and much more pleasant than what? Than just the regular chesed that a person gets. Yeah, that's really what I was saying.
So how does Hashem draw out the Jew from the Rasha if they're getting everything that seems to be chesed, whereas like for us it draws out stronger tefillos and stronger bonus Hashem?
No, so the Rasha, Hashem is kind of giving up on him in this place. Right? Again, Rasha could always choose to do tshuva, but the Rasha is sort of getting his olam haba in this world, and he kind of just coasts along, and he never thinks about his life. And then he gets to the next world, and Hashem, you know, puts him to. Now he goes lifnim, and his inside track is midas adin, and he's in big trouble. Right? The tzaddik, on the other hand, has the opposite experience. The tzaddik is suffering on the outside of this world. The tzaddik's not frustrated. The tzaddik says, "I know Hashem. I made some mistakes, and Hashem wants me just to pay off those mistakes in this world, so that when I get to the inside track in the next world, I'm able to have nothing but eternal bliss, and everything's good." Right? So what appears like the Rasha having the easy life and everything's working out and everything's great, it's really a Kaddish Baruch Hu's way of punishing him. And it goes back to what some of us were learning last week in the Degel Machaneh Ephraim. You don't know what's right and what's left, right? The Pasuk says, don't stray from the matter that the Chacham tell you, Yaminu Smol. You don't know what's Yamin and Smol. You don't know what's Chesed and what's Gvura. It's hard to know sometimes. I was mamash talking to someone this week. He was telling me, he worked so hard to get this summer internship. He thought it was like such a big opportunity. He finally got this opportunity, and he came to me this week and he said, remember before the summer how we were talking about like how I was fighting to get this internship? I was so happy when I got it. He said it was so bad for me. Just to like gain my confidence back. Forget all the spiritual nisyonos in that work environment. He said, I thought it was such a chet. I said, wow, you know, I said, wow, Hashem, you gave me such a gift. It wasn't a gift. It was a chorban for me. It was terrible. Right? And the guy who wanted that job and didn't get the job doesn't realize it, but Hashem did him a big chesed by not giving him that job because it would have been bad for him. So we don't know what's a chesed and what's a gvura. And the goal is to be a person who's always looking lifnim mishur asadin. If it looks like din on the outside, try to look lifnim, try to tichaneis lifnim mishur asadin. Try to go inside of it and realize the bracha inside of it. The grandson of Uri of Strelitz says, look at the four fast days of the Jewish calendar. I have a sefer at home from a very deep tzaddik, the grandson of Uri of Strelitz. His name was Rav Nachum Mendel of Patilch or something like that. I'm not sure even how to pronounce it. It's a very, very deep sefer. So he says there, look at the four fast days of the Jew. When do we fast? What are the four fast days? What's the calendar date of the 4 days? So you have Tisha B'Av and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, right? In 3 weeks. It starts with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Okay? So you have the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av. What's 17 plus 9? 26. That's Hashem's name. Yud Kei Vav Kei. What are the other two fast days?
Tzom Gedalia.
You have Tzom Gedalia. Right, and Asar B'Teves. Yeah? So you have what? You have Tzom Gedalia, it's the 3rd of Tishrei. And then you have Asar B'Teves, which is the 10th of Teves. So what's 10 plus 3? 13 is gematria.
Yud gimel
is Yud gimel midos harachamim. Yud gimel is gematria ava. Yud gimel is gematria echad. So look what you have. When you take the four fast days, you have 17 and 9, which is 26, and you have 3 and 10, which is 13. So you put it together, you have Hashem Echad. You see? 17 plus 9 is 26, is the name of Hashem. 3 plus 10 is 13, is Gematria Echad. So the four most broken days of the year are saying to what? Saying to us, Hashem Echad. What do we do every day? We cover our eyes, we say, I don't want Hashem, I'm covering my eyes, because I know if I look with my physical eyes, it's going to mess me up to think that you don't like me, Hashem. So I'm going to close my physical eyes, I'm going to open my spiritual, my mind's eye, so to speak, and I'm going to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Think about the words. Hashem, which is the name of kindness, Elokeinu, Hashem's name of din, Hashem Echad. It's all Hashem Echad. When Moshe comes to Hashem, as things are getting bad in Mitzrayim, and he says, Hashem, it's only getting worse ever since I came to you. And what does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? How does Parshas Va'era begin? Anyone know the first pasuk of Parshas Va'era? How does Shemos end? Shemos ends with Moshe coming to Paro and saying, let the Jews go, and Paro says, get out of here, I'm making it worse for them. So Moshe comes back to Hashem and says, Hashem, this is not fair. You told me I'm going to help the Jews, and I'm just making it worse for the Jews. How does Parshas Va'era begin? Not Va'era, Va'era. How does Va'era begin? Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elav ani Hashem. Says the Stipler Gon, Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe. Hashem, you're calling. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, you're calling me Elokim? Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. I'm Chesed. You think I'm Midas Adin. You think I'm trying to make things worse for the Jews? Nah. It's a Yerid Letzar Chaliyah. It's a step down to go up. I promise you, it's only gonna get better, and it's gonna get better, and it's gonna get better. Next Shabbos, we're gonna read the Tochacha. Right? We read Parshas Kisavo. The harshest psukkim of the whole Torah. So I'll let you in on a little secret. It's actually a big secret, but I'll give you the little version of it right now. The big secret is, look through the Tochacha and notice which name of God appears over and over and over throughout the Tochacha and Parshas Kisavo. You know which name of God it is? Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. You know how many times God's name appears in the Tochacha? 26 times, that's right. The name, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Gematria 26, appears 26 times in the Tochacha. 26 times 26 is Gematria 676, is Gematria Ra'os. So listen to this pshat from the Sefer Lev Aryeh. This will blow your mind. Pasuk in Tehillim. Rabos Ra'os Letzadik. Sometimes bad, there's a lot of bad for the Tzadik. Anyone know this pasuk? Rabos Ra'os Latzadik, Umikulam Yatzilenu Hashem. The Tzadik has a lot of Ra'os, but Hashem saves the Tzadik from all of them. What does it mean? Says the Sefer Lev Aryeh, Rabos Ra'os Tzadik. The Tzadik encounters Ra'os 676. Right? Gematria 676. Rabbos Ra'os Tzadik. You look at the Tocha and you say, oh my gosh, these are the worst psukim. Mamash is describing a holocaust. But then what? You look more deeply, you pay attention, you say, wait a minute. What name of God is being used throughout these harshest psukim of the entire Chumash? Right? The name Hashem. Umikulam Yatzilenu Hashem. Rabbos Ra'os Tzadik. Umikulam Yatzilenu Hashem. Ra'os. Ra'os is 676. Reish Ayin Vav Taf. It's 26 times 26. And that's how many times God's name appears in the Tochacha. The name, which is Gematria 26, the name of Chesed, appears 26 times throughout the Tochacha. So a Jew has to be a person of perspective who says, okay, I'm not going to be fooled by what I see on the surface. I'm going to look deeper. I'm not going to look at El and look away because I'm scared. I'm not going to look at Rosh Hashanah and look away. It's all Hashem packaging the greatest gift he wants to give us called Tshuva, and he packages it in a way that's a little bit harsh on the surface. When we understand that everything that looks like gevura is really a chesed in disguise, that's the depth of Klal Yisrael. We said a remez once in the past that or plus choshech is gematria Yisrael. When I can handle the light mixed with the darkness, that's the strength of the Jewish people. When I realize that the dark is also has light within it, right? That there's a light that comes out of the darkness, like the Zohar says, there's no true light except for the light that comes out of darkness. It's a line from the Zohar. Okay, so let's finish up. So it says the Avodas Pnim. He says, we daven Hashem, please, tichaneis itanu lifnim mishur azadim. Help us to be Jews who can see past the surface. That we should be able to what? That we should be able to go lifnim mishur azadim. There's a story, I think, did I tell this in Shir the other day? When Rav Shimshon Pinkus dressed up like a bear for Purim? I told you this story? Rav Shimshon Pinkus dressed up like a bear 1 year for Purim. So he walks into his kitchen. And his son sees a bear in the kitchen, and the son freaks out. So he runs over to his mother and says, "Mommy, a bear!" So she says, "No, Shefala, don't worry. No, don't worry. It's just Tati. He's dressed in a bear costume. It's Purim." So the kid runs over to the bear. "Save me from the bear." It's an amazing story. So he said, "Well, what was the kid thinking? Right? Is it a bear? Which is it? Is it Avinu or is it Malkeinu?" And the answer is, on the outside, Hashem is playing Malkeinu during these days. But on the inside, right? On the inside, it's Avinu. And a Jew is able to look beyond the surface, right? The kid had the instinct to recognize that what? That I know it's really my father on the inside. On the outside, I'm terrified. He's clutching the, save me, Tati, save me from the bear. He's hugging the bear, grabbing the bear's leg. But he knows, his instinct tells him that it's Tati on the inside. Because the din is just a garment that covers over the truest chesed on the inside. And this is the idea you find in Sefer Chassidus and Kabbalah, the softening, the sweetening of the din at its shoresh. The softening of the din at its shoresh means that no matter how bad it looks on the outside, if you dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, eventually you'll find that the innermost point is kulo ahava, it's kulo chesed. No matter how broken it looks on the outside, yeah.
So, on that line, we need to talk about dinam b'sharsham. I saw somewhere else that I'm talking about dinam, but the sharsh of that is bina. So, how could bina be batsim chesed? Because it's on the left, it's the side of the gura. And if it is batsim chesed, and there wasn't enough bina between chachmon bina, between chesed and gura, then it's, I guess you could say
there is no difference. That's why the Zohar says that chachma and bina are trained rayin, they're two friends. The lomis parshin that never separate.
Right, but we know that there is, like, in order for it to work, there has to be, at least superficially.
But the point is that they're interwoven with each other. That's what we're learning in Dagalach and Afarim on Thursday, right? That you don't know what's right and what's left. That's Rashi. Even if the rabbi tells you that the right is the left, he's like, what are you talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about. You should trust him. Trust the Sanhedrin. Even if they tell you your right is your left, why would I trust them? Because they have deeper eyes and they can see that what looks like an opportunity might be a disaster in disguise. And what looks like a total failure might be a tremendous opportunity that's waiting for you. Okay, so in conclusion, says the Avodas Pnim, I'll show you a remez to this idea. He says, Hinei Shem Hadin Elokim. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas Hadin, right, of course, is the name Aleph Lamed He Yud and Mem. So he says, look at the inside of Elokim. Let's do exactly what we're going to daven for in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're going to ask, Tichanei Sitanu Lifnim Mishur Sadin. Let's go to the inside of this name, right? Meaning, let's take out the outer two letters, so to speak, the Levush, the garment, and let's take the three middle letters. What are the three middle letters of Elokim? Osios HaPnimios, the three middle letters are Lamed, He, and Yud. Lamed, He, and Yud, he says, is 45. Gematria Ma, 45. What's 45? Oh, we learned the other day. 45 is the name of Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei, if you spell out the letters. If you spell out Yud, how do you spell the letter Yud? Yud Vav Dalet. How do you spell the letter He? He Aleph. How do you spell Vav? Vav Aleph Vav. How do you spell He? He Aleph again. You spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei, you expand the letters of Hashem's name of kindness, it's Gematria 45. So look what we're saying here. He's saying, if you can get to the inner core of Elokim, not only will you find chesed, what will you find? What will you find? You'll find an expansion of chesed. You'll find an abundance of chesed. You'll find rav chesed. Right? So what on the outside looked like less than chesed, not chesed at all, when you dug deep, you found that it was what? It was actually more chesed than regular chesed. And that's his whole point. Harei ki apnimius hadin hu mali rachamim. That the inside of what appears to be midas hadin is often filled with rachamim. I'll just end with one more remez for Elul. The Arizal says that one of the Rashi Tevos for Elul is by Oz Yashir. It says, Vayomru lemor ashira la Hashem. What are the Rashi Tevos? Vayomru lemor ashira la Hashem is Rashi Tevos Elul. Right? Why is that Elul? So the Svarim explained like this. Again, Elul, you can look at Elul as a punishment, or you can look at Elul as an amazing opportunity. Depends on your attitude. What was Yetzias Mitzrayim? What are they singing about? So there's two ways to sing when a Jew comes out of a difficulty. You could sing, thank you Hashem for just making that bad thing go away. That's one way to sing. The other more mature way to sing is to say what? I'm singing over the fact that now I realize that the bad thing actually wasn't so bad. You hear the difference? I could sing to Hashem, I could say, wow, thank you Hashem for taking me out of Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim was terrible. Or I could sing a different type of shir. I could say, wow, thank you Hashem for putting me through Mitzrayim, because that's how Klal Yisrael was born. That I appreciate that the tzara itself was actually part of what built me up. That's what made me great. So when Klal Yisrael sang the Shira by the Yam, they were singing a Shira with the understanding that what? That we appreciate what we went through in Mitzrayim. We're not angry at God for putting us through enslavement for 210 years in Egypt. We understood there could be no Klal Yisrael, there could be no Kabbalah Sator without it. So the Svarim say like this. The Gemara says you can't compare a person who learns something 100 times to a person who learns something 101 times. You heard that Gemara before? Mizachas Chagiga Daf Tes. You can't compare 100 to 101. So the Tzaddikim say you can't compare Tehillim Perek Kuf to Tehillim Perek Kuf Aleph. You can't compare 100 to 101. What's Tehillim Perek Kuf? Anyone know? He said it this morning in Pesukei Dezimra. What's Tehillim Perek Kuf? Mizmor L'Soda. Mizmor L'Soda. Thank you Hashem for all the good things. Right? What does it say in Tehillim Kuf Aleph? In Tehillim Kuf Aleph it says, Mishpat v'chesed ashira. What do you mean Mishpat ashira? I sing over Mishpat? I sing over Midas Adin? And the answer is, if you're really a deep Jew, yeah, you sing over Midas Adin, because you realize even Midas Adin is really chesed. So the tzaddikim say, you can't compare 100 to 101. They say, you can't compare Tehillim chapter 100, a Jew who only sings over the good things, versus a Jew who says, Mishpat v'chesed, chesed u'mishpat ashira. For good and for difficulty I sing. And again, that's what the Svarim say is the secret of this hint to Chodesh Elul. Vayomru le'mor ashira la Hashem. Right? I'm singing to Hashem. I'm realizing that what? That what I went through in Mitzrayim was a necessary part of my growth. And it wasn't because Hashem didn't like us. It was Hashem's way of building us up. That's what every Nisayon is. It's Hashem pushing us to try to be bigger and to be better. When you look at the three middle letters of Elokim, what do you see? Lamed Hayud, you see an expansion of Chesed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to have deep eyes. Again, you could be the type of person who just wants to close your eyes and like wake me when Elul and Rosh Hashanah is over, and I'm happy to sit with Hashem in the Sukkah. But that's a very immature attitude. All that anxiety, you have to see Elul as a gift. Hey, hey, Vav Yud. It starts off, oh, Elul, oh, yeah, yeah, Elul, it's rough, Elul, it's rough. You know, I'm going to get up early, say Slichos, confront my averos, do tshuva, but then at the end I say vav yod. I realize that it's nothing other than really a chesed in disguise. All right, yashu koyach. Thanks for learning with me.